I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Hey guys, this is Sorenjay with A Pint of Cthulhu and another special guest. We have Jeff Baker from When Suddenly Games, and he's going to be doing a nice little one-shot or two-shot for you guys tonight. Feel free to introduce yourself.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I am Jeffrey N. Baker of When Suddenly Games. You can probably tell by my accent, I am not from the same place as everybody else. I am in the U.S., the Southeast, and basically just a single game designer. Started this game in 2020 during the pandemic. I was looking for something to do, and I was on TikTok, met a bunch of other creators, and was like, well, I want to give my, you know, go at this. And this is what came out of it. Today we're going to be playing with a game called The Crypt Has Opened, which uses my dice system called the Imposition Dice System. It is born out of games like Monty Cook's Cypher System, Blades in the Dark. Those are the two of the biggest influences. So if you are familiar with either one of those, you'll start to see some of that DNA there. And also Savage Worlds. To talk a little bit about kind of the system itself and why it's called the Imposition Dice System, we're actually running a game jam right now using the system. But essentially, there are all the roles are player facing. Me as a GM, I don't roll anything. I just assign to you a difficulty die, which is that imposition die. All the dice in here range from a D4 to a D12. So if you look on your character sheets, you'll see that all the dice, you'll just see, you know, those little marks, D4 up to D12. That's basically how good you are in that particular thing. So D4, you're not too great at it. D12, you're excellent. In this game, you only ever generally roll three dice. Whenever there is a situation where we think the outcome could be interesting, you are going to roll your spell die, which is in the top left corner of the character sheet. Whatever spell you're using to do this at the time, it's going to be out of that middle portion of the character sheet under paths. And the third die is whatever that imposition die I've assigned to it. This game uses graduated success. So we have failure, success with consequences, and full success. Your goal, basically, real simple terms, you're trying to get your spell die and your path die, the values, the individual values on those dice, to be higher than the imposition value. If they roll higher than the imposition, you're successful. If the imposition is higher than one of the other two, it is a success with consequence, which means you still succeed, but there's a consequence to that success. Something else goes kind of wrong or doesn't go quite the way you wanted it to. A failure, as it says, the imposition is higher than both of those. You fail, but you get an experience point. So failure isn't totally something you want to shy away from. You kind of want to lean into failures because you get experience points and you also get to see what kind of fun, exciting things happen with the story because of that failure. That's the mechanics in a nutshell. the crypt is open specifically is basically, are y'all familiar with Tales from the Crypt? I'm not sure if that made it across the pond.
A little bit.
So Tales from the Crypt started out as a comic book series back in the 50s. And it's basically campy horror, fun kind of comic, you know, schlock for kids to read, but a lot of really cool stuff. And it's that plus Stephen King's The Stand. Essentially, the apocalypse came not with a bang, but with an exhalation of a crypt door. Sometime in the 1990s, these things called crypt doors erupted all across the world. And when they opened up, they released cryptids and evil spirits and all those kind of terrible things. And they nearly overrun the entire world. Thankfully, magic was also bolstered. And you are all playing magical practitioners who are using this newfound power of magic to fight back against the cryptids and reclaim the dead spaces of the world. The dead spaces are essentially all the overrun places that you're trying to reclaim civilization. Everything's kind of still stuck in a very 1990s aesthetic. So if it happened in the 90s, you can reference it in the game. Those things still exist. I'm going to be very honest. I am not very familiar with UK 90s pop culture. So I'm trusting y'all to stick to the role play on that side of things and have fun.
That's great. I mean, you know, my pop culture is from about 2004 onwards.
Oh, no. I was...
Mixed bag.
I mean, my culture starts with the album 2001. Give you a reference.
Oh no. Me, it's all about to put it in context. Spice Girls are the big thing, right? That's still going to be a huge thing. They were 90s, right? Or are they still early 2K? Oh no.
Oh, hang on.
90s. Oh wait, Y2K? That's 90s. Yes.
Yes. Oh. Yeah.
You've caught us in the one night without our talking American. Yeah. Spice Girls were 1994 onwards.
So there you go.
You're safe.
I mean, actually, Princess Diana.
Yeah.
Wow. Jesus
Christ. Those are all big things.
That might be a bit far.
It was such a tragedy. It really was.
All right. So we got all that really cool stuff going.
Just some ass covering.
So one of the big things about the game is if you notice in that middle portion where we talked about the paths, everybody has access to the same types of magic that you can do and perform. It's just some people are better at it than others, right? So that's to encourage you as a player to sometimes maybe step outside of the things that you're good at when the situation calls for it. That's when a lot of the story happens, is when you are fighting against the imposition and fighting against the crypt and pushing yourself as a character and seeing where the story goes. Because sometimes you can have great successes and overcome, you know, against the odds. And sometimes the odds, you know, punch you in the face. But really cool stuff can happen for it. Do we have any questions before I continue on? Or I can ramble
apologies
forever.
If you've answered this, but what do the black dots in the path mean?
Yes, that's a good question. I wanted to see what... if we notice that. So that, if you look under each of the paths, so there are five paths of magic. There is the ceremonial, creation, crypt, folk, and hex. Under each of those are the three aspects of that path. Think of them like specializations. They're kind of like the three main parts that comprise a particular path. Who chose Jesse? That's a good...
Yeah, that's me.
Okay.
I guess because I went for Jesse for the sake that he's a high damage guy, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Because looking at my skills, I'm quite good at hex magic.
Exactly.
The death and protection stats.
Exactly. So hex comprises... you have three aspects of hex magic, which is curses, death magic, and protection. Because you want to be able to protect yourself from the other two, so you know a bit about those things. The dots are the character's aptitude, how good they are with that particular aspect. So those three dots, whenever, or however many dots you have in a particular thing, because you can have up to 5 points of aptitude, those lower the imposition die by a number of steps per point. So what that means is Jesse, who's really good, I think has 2 points in death magic. If you were going to, say, shoot lightning out of your fingertips because you are a big Star Wars kid, you know, now all grown up, and you're like, ah, unlimited power, and you shoot shooting lightning, that may be, I'm like, oh, you're shooting it at a particular cryptid. I'll say the imposition's, say, a D10. You can go, oh, I have 2 points of aptitude and death magic. I lower that imposition from a D8 down to D10, D8 to a D6. So it's a D6 for you.
So it goes down 2 dice levels.
Exactly.
Okay.
Whereas somebody else who wants to do the exact same thing but has no aptitude in death magic, they're stuck at the D10. So that's how we can gauge how difficult things are going to be for different players. Yeah.
Okay. I have 1-2 things I need to ask at this point.
Sure. Yeah.
So this is a bit of my path with Jesse. I mean, can you talk us through a little bit of the paths here? So I've got ceremonial, creation, crypt, folk, and hex.
Yeah.
Are they like your I don't know, your family of magics?
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, sorry. We keep crossing swords. Yeah, yeah.
Real Star Wars action.
There we go. Those magics are basically the fundamental magics that everybody in the world has come to understand and use on a daily basis. So if you look at ceremonial magics, which can also be called high magic, would be rituals, sitting down to, you know, draw out your ritual circle and spend a long time, like maybe somebody's trying to summon a cryptid or summon a spirit. You might want to set up a ritual circle to bind or contain that spirit so it doesn't get loose. So you would do something ahead of time. There's enchantment magic that goes with ceremonial. Enchantment magic is, I want to create a wand that shoots death magic for me, right? And so that way I don't necessarily have to use my or rely on my death magic, or I can give that wand to somebody else to use who might not be a magical practitioner. They may be able to use it and still gain the benefits of those kinds of things. And you have linking. Linking is kind of our help mechanic that allows you to think of like a witch's coven. They link together their magical abilities and it artificially raises your spell die from a D6. Spell die basically is essentially your character's level. You're all level D6, basically. And it could artificially raise everybody's level up to a D8 while you maintain that link. Each of those, I realize I didn't give y'all a reference sheet that I normally have, which kind of gives a brief overview of all the magical paths. So I'm going to do a lot of work to make sure y'all have the full information you need while we're playing the game, and maybe be a bit more prompting than I normally would about what may be most useful. Because one of the big things about the game is we don't want to, as the what we call the Crypt Keeper, the GM, the Crypt Keeper, I don't want to ever call for a role. I don't ever want to say, hey, give me this kind of role. Instead, what I want to do is present a problem to all of you, and then you look at your character sheet and look at the magic you have available and try to solve that problem using the skills and the abilities that you have. And then we'll see the outcome of the role and go from there.
Okay. So, like, you're fishing and we explain how we want to go into it.
Exactly. Like, so we can say, like, you are going to go look for Nessie, right? Hey, we need to go talk to Nessie. Maybe Nessie is an entity in this world now that can actually speak to, and you got to figure out a way to summon her from the waters. How do you do that? I would want to hear from y'all. This is the way we're going to go about doing that, using our magics.
Okay. Is that all caught up enough to start?
Not quite. I have one last question. And that just goes very... sorry, Jay. But no, this is actually important because I do need to ask. So if I was in like a fight scenario, I don't have like a spell list or anything like that. Can I just make that up?
Exactly. This is all free form.
Okay. That's based... what I wanted to ask. Yep. Okay, then.
Based on how you describe the magic will determine how difficult it is, right? If you're like, okay, I want to summon a meteor to destroy this town, that's going to be very difficult to do.
Possible.
Yeah,
but hang on, that is possible.
Oh, yeah. It's all possible. We'll get into more mechanical things to explain how that difficulty would matter versus just be like, hey, I want to shoot a little firecracker. Very easy, right? So we determine the difficulty based on your description. And so this is very narrative. This is very free form. In fact, we don't even have initiative, which we will get into once we play the game. You'll see how that works.
Right. All ready to go then.
Yeah. Okay. So what we're going to do is a very truncated version of what we call the town building mechanics, because we do have an entire system for you. We all sit down prior to the game and make our own town that we're all living in, and has its own character sheet and all these questions and really cool stuff. But what we're going to do is just a very simple 10 question prompt. Together, we're all going to make our town and go from there. This is going to be a little unique for me because I'm going to let y'all build your town wherever y'all want in Europe, and I'm gonna do my best.
Good luck, mate.
Yeah. Which country do we want to offend?
Do you know what? I think it's relevant at the moment. I think we go for.
Can we make them French? Wait,
no. Where's the Euros being held? That's it. That has to be there. That's not happening at the moment.
I assume they're not happening in the 1990s Euros. Cryptidverse. Bigfoot's on the team.
I think at the moment it is Switzerland. I might be wrong and I might be slated on the channel, but oh well.
I don't think we know enough about Switzerland to do that bit, man.
I know that chocolate. I mean,
chocolate, banks, cheese, yeah, that's about it.
There you go.
Right. Where do we want to set it? Do we want to go with you guys and set it in England or?
Switzerland?
You know what? I don't think we have any Swiss viewers, so it's not like we're going to be dragging anyone off.
Just insult them, it's fine. They don't.
Okay. Let's roll with the challenge.
They can't hear us.
I'm thinking of a picturesque small village in the middle of Switzerland with mountains on each side in a valley.
Ooh. Wow, so we have yetis and shit.
You know, I'm going to say in this small town there are a tavern, a small market. A town.
Oh, we'll get into all that. We still got a lot. More, okay. We have a lot of questions.
So
we know where it's coming. I did skip over one thing. I just wanted to go over. This is kind of a content warning. Since we are running a horror game, I do like to establish like here's what we're dealing with. Are y'all familiar with Lines and Veils?
Yeah.
Vaguely heard of it before.
Okay. So content warning wise. In this scenario, there is going to be blood, potential drowning, and potential body horror. If those are things that you're not cool with, I can make sure that we don't have those. But that's kind of some of the big things we've got going on.
Likewise, unusual to ask it to the GM, I know, but if there's anything you aren't comfortable with, best tell us now.
Yes, and that's where the lines and veils come in. So lines and veils is basically saying, you know, here's a hard line. We don't cross this. This is a nope. You know, veils are basically, it can happen in the world off screen. We don't really want to belabor the point, you know, and things like that. So what I say is for me, I establish straight up, no homophobia, no transphobia, no sexism, no racism, you know, no SA, and no child harm. Those are the things that I'm saying, just, we're not going to deal with, not going to touch on, and they don't exist.
So just briefly, good thing you said that, because usually when this podcast gets asked, when someone comes on and they run a game for us and they go, oh, is there anything you absolutely wouldn't, any lines, any veils, that sort of thing. The one example, and Flower and Cartman will know this too, is that we shotgunned a baby.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that is, so for me, we're not going to do that.
That's a line, then. Okay.
That is a hard
understood.
Line. A father of two. I've it used to not be a thing. I became a father of two and went, you know what?
Yeah.
I now have a new trigger. So we're not going to...
I get it. Yeah. Keep it PG-15.
Yeah. And the scenario I've written that I generally run for these things, that should not be an issue. But anything but else no, we, that no, I haven't
we
stated?
Totally get that. I mean, with like general viewership, we want this game for everybody. So
yeah,
I mean, keep it cool, people. You know, there's no point making a thing about anything.
We don't want Matt shouting at us.
And this is, you know, one of those things where, again, it's a horror game, and I understand everybody has different ways of playing horror. And I want to, you know, make sure that everybody has that option, but that we have the lines and veils so we can all play safely together. Okay, so let me jump ahead. This is going to be on. I'm using our little our PDF, which you can get on the website to do all this stuff with, which I will plug probably after all of this. Okay, this is our 10-question prompt. So we are going to be in the Swiss Alps. All right. The next is, what is the name of your town?
Cartman, do you want to do the honors as you usually do?
Okay, your name is Gouda.
Gouda?
Like the cheese? Right. Yeah, go for it.
Okay.
Gouda. Sorry, and that is spelled G-E-W-D-E-R. Which is not how the cheese is spelled.
But G-E-E?
G-E-R.
No, you just called it APOC.
Nah, fuck it. Call it Gouda.
Gouda. What is the roughly the size of your town?
Fairly small, I'd reckon.
2 feet.
A hamlet.
2 feet.
Two very tiny town, dense population.
No, it's just a single. It's a single tower. All
very close.
Very tall.
Oh, very close.
80 stories tall, 2 feet wide.
Everybody's it's literally standing on top of the head of the person below them.
Oh, it's like
God can't strike us down for repeating babble. He's okay. Too busy hiding.
So I like red. Thinking that in our small town there'd be about 150 people.
Ooh, very small.
You know, yeah, not you know.
How dare you for a non-American town? That's practically you.
150 people. That's a hamlet. Even.
Oh, that's a did I pass through it here in the U.S.? You'd...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Fun fact, in the city that, in the capital city of England, the place I used to live, there's like double the amount of people as in the country I live in.
Oh my gosh, that is...
It's fucking weird.
It's so yeah, wild. To us, a small town is like still 1,300 people.
Sorry, Jay.
God damn. Anyway, we can have it be like 120 people plus in the community.
Okay, very close. All right.
121.
What are you
121, sure.
What are you governed by?
Oh, we got a mayor.
What would spring up in post apocalyptic good attire?
Mayor McJones.
Can we have it be a guy who's like an obviously evil banker but he's actually a good guy?
Right,
like, banker. He has all the mannerisms of a shitty banker.
And he's got to have a moustache when he twirls.
Yeah.
Evil banker.
Evil banker. But he's generally doing good civic works.
He just and looks he, evil. Everybody assumes capitalism bad.
And he has like, to sound like Muttley from Wacky Races.
Yeah, cackles loudly every time he proposes something.
Alright, what's his name?
Oh, what's the worst...
I think it should be named
Ari Knife. Nah.
I've victimized people's names now. It's fine.
See, that's why I was saying Mayor McCheese.
Mayor McCheddar. Because Mayor McCheddar is an English cheese. Yeah, well, cheddar's an English cheese. You know,
every cheese will appear in this game except for Swiss. We cannot let it.
No.
Right, Mayor Cheddar.
Cheddar.
Mayor Cheddar.
Mayor Cheddar.
Oh. Yeah,
listen,
I the rock for in a minute.
I've had a game where they literally had a spirit possessed dog, and they lived in the town of Good Boy.
Ah!
And they just listened to the dog about what they needed to do next.
Aren't there like two separate towns in America? One which has a dog for mayor, and the other has a cat.
I'm sure it happened. That stuff. Groundhog Day as well. What's the most notable thing about your town? I'm assuming cheese, but
No.
It's our majestic fountain in the middle of our majestic
fountain. Ah, fountain.
Can it please be the 2 foot wide, 80 foot tall tower?
Oh, yeah. Don't forget, sorry, Jay, it's full of cheese.
Sure.
Fountain's full of cheese.
It's bright yellow.
Is it just painted to look like it's made of Swiss cheese, but it's actually just like metal?
Oh, wait, it should be great.
Like a cheese string.
Golden fountain.
The golden fountain. What's the biggest holiday of your town?
Oh my god, hang on. Can it be a cheese fountain, like a fondue cheese fountain in the middle of town?
That's the smell.
Okay, fondue fountain. Fondue fountain.
Everyone can be a fountain.
And the biggest event is the fondue fountain
festival?
Yes, festival. Thank you. Fondue Fountain Festival.
That's fun and frivolous Fondue Fountain Festival.
Oh, God.
Oh,
fondue.
Say that 10 times faster.
You said the frivolous fondue?
Fun and frivolous Fondue Fountain Festival.
Oh, my God. So I'm not writing all that.
Fondue.
Yes, it can be fondue.
And frivolous. Okay. What is the closest town to y'all, and what is their relationship to y'all?
Could be Hamburg. Fierce charcuterie board based rivalry.
They want your cheese for the board, and you refuse to give it.
That's our major
dirty pigs.
All right.
Oh, Hamburg.
A Hamburg. And their charcuterie board. I don't know how to spell that. What's the biggest threat to your town? Could be
mice.
Could be natural, could be spiritual. What'd you say?
Can we have it?
Mice.
Can we have it be like a were-rat epidemic or some shit?
Were-rat.
Giant cryptid mice.
Yeah, no, I like mice a lot, actually, yeah. Mice or rats, either or.
Okay. So this would be some kind of like, I'm trying to think if lycanthropy fits within the, I don't know. What is
maybe else? Instead of the moon, they just see like a big light colored cheese wheel and it turns them.
Oh, if they eat so much, they like progress. Like, start off like mice, but then if you eat so much cheese, they turn into like a rat creature.
Yeah, yeah. It's like vultures. Giant. Yes.
Wait. Didn't Wallace and Gromit do that?
They did. Fuck. No, it was a were-rabbit with them.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez. Well, cheesy were-rats.
And then finally, this is our 10th question. What is your biggest creature comfort? This is the thing that, like, everybody in town loves to indulge in.
What goes with cheese? Wine.
Crackers wine. And wine. Yeah. Yeah, we can all just be huge drunkards.
Yeah, I think we have a fine selection of wines. We choose the best wines.
All right.
Red or white?
Red. Okay. Red to go with cheese.
No, rosé. I want the rosé.
That's the argument.
So this is where we will begin. Now that we have our little town of Gouda tucked in the way of the Swiss Alps, our camera, rolling over these wonderful hills. It's a wonderful spring. The flower, isn't it tulips? Wasn't Swiss? Didn't they have a lot of tulips? Wasn't that a big thing? Or am I thinking of a
Is
different?
That the Dutch?
The Dutch.
I'm sure they still have some.
remember the Toblerone.
We come over and we see this wonderful little hamlet. People have, tried to reclaim. It was once probably a touristy little town up in the Alps that was for skiing. But you have all renovated and changed it into this wonderful little town of cheeses. I imagine you have lots of goats and those, various types of milking animals are up on the hills. To help,
there's
make...
just a field of like 90% cows and one minotaur chain.
Four minotaurs, like, let me out. stop trying to milk me.
I've only got one other.
Oh, Jesus.
Sorry, oh, Jesus.
Oh, Jesus. But we do see that there is all along y'all's little tower that people kind of stay in. You are beginning to decorate it because it is time. You're gearing up for the fun and frivolous fondue festival. It is on its way. What are each of you doing to prepare for the festival?
Oh, well, I think Jesse, he's going to be melting cheese for the fondue.
Oh, using your death magic to melt it down.
I've made a fire of wood, and I started the fire with my magic, and just keeping it stoked with my magic. Yeah, just
nice.
Melting the cheese.
Love it.
I think in this lovable town of buffoons, several people have perhaps got too close to the giant smelting pots for fondue and have burned themselves. So Two-Tone is going to be using healing magic to try and help with that.
Thank you, Two-Tone.
I have my eyes. He took my idea. The first aid set.
You're Gamma Gene, correct?
Yes, I am.
Gamma Gene.
Oh, got okay. Moving.
All right. The two of you are helping the burn victims, these poor burn victims. When Tuto, you hear behind you that cackle. Well, I see people been burning themselves. Turn around, you see Mayor Cheddar wringing his hands. He's wearing like this purple suit. That's and purple tie. He has a top hat that's slightly crooked, just doesn't quite fit on his head, a little too small. It's even bent a little bit. But he has some gold rings that he rakes together. Crack, 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 as he's rubbing his hands together. Yeah, that's unfortunate. Rubs his mustache. Two-Tone, though, I need some help. Gamma Gene, you might be good for this, too.
Well, of course, Mayor Cheddar. Whatever you need.
Yeah. Obviously, Mayor Cheddar, very an outsider because he has an American accent.
He's an emperor, okay?
He's an expat. Got caught.
He came in like a crate of American, sliced single cheese. He was just riding along.
He's been trying. He was at a craft cheese empire, trying to restart. For those who don't know, Kraft is one of our biggest cheeses here.
Oh, yeah.
Kraft.
Squirtus cheese.
Oh, no.
He's
truly evil.
He pulls you both to the side.
You'll all be fine. Come here. So, we've been running, we have a bit of a problem. We've been running out of cheese for the fondue fountain. One of our stockpiles seems to be missing. Should have come in last night. Do you two know anything about that? Maybe.
Nothing at all.
No.
I can't believe that this could happen. I'm grateful for you warning us.
You see him, he gives a side eye over to Jesse.
I think Jesse was up to his tricks, burning things out in the woods again.
Jesse, you overhear that.
Oh, that's quite likely.
Well, what I need you to do, and you need to take that reprobate with you just in case, maybe find some clues that he's the problem. The shipment should have come up down through the hills, just out of north of town. Can y'all go check out that for me? See if you sense any problems out there?
Well, I think we can.
I mean, yeah, find someone else to carry on melting this cheese and we'll go solve your problem. Right now, this cheese needs melting.
I can melt the cheese.
Please go.
I got ways
okay,
of melting cheese.
Okay, but remember now, Not too much heat. You don't want to burn it.
That doesn't sound ominous at all.
Don't worry about me. I've got ways of doing things around here. All right, well, get going.
Sounds like we gotta go.
Now be careful of that that old hotel up the way. I hear some nasty things might be going on up there. Now on. Go.
Off we go. Let's go and get this sorted out. Then we can go come back here and melt more cheese.
Yeah. As you are all walking away, he turns around to somebody. He's like, "You! I got a job for you." And he waddles over to somebody, starts talking to him.
That's how he starts every conversation. He has to. Can't help it. It's a very delicate speech impediment to have.
That's why you won't let him out.
Yeah, so there's basically that one road that, because you're probably imagine, you know, kind of stuck in the middle of the Alps there. So it was really kind of really one way in, one way out to go off to. If you all look on your sheets, if you look on the back, this is what we're going to do this portion now. On the back, you'll see in the bottom right, there are character connections. Let's start with Jesse. What is your character connection say? Or your character tie?
So my character tie, I'm going to read it out loud just because it's getting there now. So you were lost to the scene with no real direction when another PC, player character,
yes,
brought you out on a job and now you're hooked.
So the scene,
so,
I don't
yeah,
know.
If, so, is, yeah.
I'm, is I'm, that I'm is that a that, an American slang or do y'all know what I mean by the scene?
Sorry, you were lost on the scene?
Yeah.
Lost to the scene. So scene life? Kid, like a raver, like a rave kid, we would call that the scene.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We get what scene kid is.
Now I get it.
Lost so, in the yeah, source of being a scene kid.
Yes, now it's just 90s culture, man. I remember that now.
Yeah. Because you are, Jesse is a new wizard. So every character is built on a tradition and a trope. The tradition is basically how you were brought up to understand magic. Your trope is how you use the magic on the day-to-day. So why don't you tell us what Jesse's tradition and trope are?
That's a good question.
So the front of the show?
Yes, tradition. I can't find trope right now, but I get that. Tradition. New wizard? Is it NU hyphen wizard? Name?
Yep, new wizard. So you're basically a punk rock kid.
Awesome. So I'm the new kid on the block, such. Like, yeah, just getting into this.
Yeah.
But, okay. Just get on that. Yeah, now I've got his character now. That's why I'm going to destruction magic or hex magic more.
You got your combat boots on. You're ready to go. Laced up and ready to
stop. I'm in it to win it.
Yeah.
So I have a few benefits being a new wizard. You know how to scrounge for gear or food. With enough time and the right scraps, you are able to couple together simple items or enough food for a single meal.
Yeah.
And once per scene or once per thing, a new wizard can twin a hex spell to affect two cryptids at once without incurring an increase to imposition.
Yeah. So boom, boom, so hit two at once.
Yeah. Hit two at once and a no penalty.
And your trope is at the very top right of the sheet.
So that my guy got Hexmonger.
Yes, you are a Hexmonger.
Okay, that's trope. Okay.
Yeah, that is your trope. So what we do now that we had talked about your character tie, you were lost to the scene, somebody's like, hey, come out with me to do a mission or a job. You loved it so much and you got hooked. You can either pick someone else here, or they can say, hey, I want to do that. Like, you are now tied to one of the other characters. That is a connection the two of you have.
Okay.
I'm happy to take that because I think it works well with what my tie is.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I could be aspiring to be one of my fellow wizards.
Perfect.
Jesus. Jesus.
So Jesse and Two-Tone are tied together. So Two-Tone, so why don't we do it this way? Why don't you tell us your tradition and trope, and then we'll do your character tie.
So my tradition is nature, which I feel is sort of the opposite of new. Seems like I'm pretty in tune with the cryptids. Mm-hmm. Can sense a cryptid or group of cryptids within 100 yards once per witching hour. And on a witching hour, I may connect with a natural object and be able to see it to its past circumstances until the last witching hour.
Very cool.
For my trope, I think I am trainer.
Yes. Basically, trainers are Pokemon trainers. You like to know about cryptids, potentially take them in, train them, or release them, or work with them, you know, however you like to think about that. And these
gotta
tropes,
catch him up.
Yeah, and tropes are in world terms. So people would see, you know, Jesse doing a lot of magic, and oh, there's a hexmonger over there. So do not be afraid to use those terms. And what is your character type?
So I want to put up a little bit of backstory potentially. I think that being a trainer and spending a lot more time in the wilderness than with, say, modern for the 1990s pop culture. Two-Tone potentially saw some big-ass seam kid hair poking out from a hedge and thought it was a cryptid of some description and bumped right into Jesse and decided, hey, might as well help them out with their magic. Two-Tone's character tie is that they've witnessed one of the other PCs kill someone that they claimed was a crypt cultist, but you have your suspicions. So what I would like to happen here, with Cartman's permission, is that they saw this poor scene kid who didn't quite know what to do with their magic, taught them a little bit, and then Jesse immediately murdered someone with the magic they just got taught.
Hey, we discussed this. It was an accident. It wasn't my fault.
They're a cultist.
The fire just happened, you see?
There you go.
You know, it was raw, and we talked about this.
His family didn't even get a body, Jesse.
Well...
You made me bury it in the pig pen. We had to go to Hamburg just to find the pigs.
All right, Gamma Gene, what do you got for us?
My character tie... I'll do that one first.
Okay.
Another PC has some information that you need that'll help you rise in the ranks. However, telling you this information could very well get them killed.
Ooh.
Wait, what? I heard get us killed.
Essentially, Gamma Gene, Gamma Gene's tradition is hierarchical. You can decide whether or not that is secular or a religious hierarchy. That's up to you. One could be a corporate hierarchy. The other could be a religious order. And essentially, Gamma Gene needs some information to rise up in the ranks in whatever institution they're a part of. However, and one of you knows that information, but telling Gamma Gene could get everybody killed.
I'm thinking like Neighborhood Watch sort of thing.
Do you want to be trying to find out who murdered that man?
Yes.
Yeah.
To find out who killed him.
Oh, perfect. So
It's all one thing.
Beautiful.
It's all coming together.
It's all connected.
And so that is, when everyone would sit down and create their own characters, there is a little table to roll on. So everybody rolls a d6, and you can randomly generate everybody's character ties, and then everybody ties their characters together at the beginning of the game, fill in those details like y'all just did, and then go from there. And then we, as a group, try to look for the fun ways of inserting those character ties into interesting roleplay moments when they present themselves. Alright, cool. So that's how you all know each other. Gamma Gene, I'm sorry, what is your tradition and trope?
Tradition is... What the hell is it?
It's in the bottom left of the character sheet. Front page. Sorry, bottom right.
Bottom right.
Left and right.
It says traditions. It doesn't say anything. It says government benefits.
It doesn't say hierarchical? Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, it says that.
Oh, okay.
The benefits can reduce the harm inflicted by the cryptic by one step down to no harm at all. Once per scene. You're able to use fast talk and neurotic to either anger or confuse a person of religious order.
Beautiful. And what is your trope? It's at the top right.
Top right of that screen. The top right of that page.
The front page. First page.
Yeah. It'll have like a paint swipe over it in grey.
Oh, backpack.
Backpack. Yeah. You're basically a backpack healer.
Okay.
Sitting on people's backs.
Where keep them originals, up. Everybody.
All right. So, for time's sake, you all are going to head out. You're on the back of your sheet. You also see how we handle equipment in this game. Equipment is very what we call quantum equipment. You are going out on an excursion. You have three kind of levels of equipment that you could potentially have. Town equipment, that's the stuff that you have with you all the time. Excursion level is basically, hey, we are going out for like a day trip and going to come back, so this is the stuff we take with us. And then you have traveling equipment, where you're going from basically one town to another. Each level stacks with the one below it, and there are predefined lists. So you'll see that they just have check marks next to them. That's just when you use that item, you check it off. Whenever you need it. Some of them are italicized. That just means you can use that item indefinitely until something in the narrative would call for that item to be broken or used in some way. Then you would check it off and no longer have that item. So if you're ever needing to know, like, hey, can I do something? Or do I have this item on me? Look at your character sheet. Do I have something like that? And then we go from there. Cool.
All right.
So I imagine everybody gets their traveling gear with them and heads up the road to find the missing cheese crate. It is about 3 or 4 hours. It's actually getting fairly warm, and kind of need a place to stop when you see just up this like little sign that's pointing to the direction of that hotel that the mayor had mentioned earlier. Probably has a good place to stop and kind of get out of the heat, rest for a minute. And I will say, Two-Tone, as you're kind of, y'all are kind of debating about whether or not to do that, you actually see some strange tracks heading towards that, like that split in the road, heading towards the hotel. And it is called the Landmark Hotel. The Landmark Tavern. Do y'all use the word hotel?
We do.
Okay.
Hotel works, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So, can I tell if these tracks look like cryptid-y or human-y?
So, what you would do is we have the idea of a thing called paths, those magical paths, as knowledge. If you ever want to know something about any particular path, you're still going to use that skill or that magical skill. Roll it, and okay. And we'll tell what you know about it. So, yeah, you're going to be like, oh, is there, you know, going something on here? Of course, you also have your benefit, where you can tell if there's cryptids within a certain radius. You could also potentially use that.
Isn't that per witching hour?
Per witching hour.
Per session?
Per day, basically.
Per day. Oh, okay. Okay. I think I'll just use the cryptid skill instead.
Okay.
Because that's only once per day. I don't want to use it up too soon.
Okay. So I'm going to set your imposition. The way I generally do this, we're going to kind of pull the current back a little bit for everybody, is a lot of times if it's a particular cryptid, cryptids have what we call level die. The die that represents how difficult they are, and that sets the initial imposition. So if I know what the level die is of a creature, and you're going to do something against that creature, that's where we'll start it at. For this particular thing, it is only a D6 imposition.
Okay. So does that mean
so
I have to
you will now look at
peek?
Your crypt path. What mm-hmm. die do you have under crypt?
D8.
Okay. So that's the first die you're going to pull for your dice pool.
Okay.
Then you're going to pull a D6 for your level. Which I suggest all everybody right. just keep a D6 with you out, because you're always going to be rolling the same D6 for your level.
Okay.
And then you're going to grab potentially another D6 for that imposition. But before you roll anything, how much aptitude do you have with cryptids? That's the aspect of crypt.
I have 2 aptitude.
Okay. So that would lower that imposition of a D6, I told you, down 2 die levels. So to a D4, and since you can't lower it another D4, you are actually going to roll with advantage. This is the one time nice. That you're going to roll more than 3 dice, potentially. All rolling with advantage means is you're going to roll that D4 twice and take the lower of the 2 values of your imposition.
Okay.
So go ahead and give us the first roll of the game.
Ooh.
Okay, so my D8 was a 3.
Okay.
My D6 was a 6. And the D4 is a 3.
Okay. We play Meet It to Beat It, so that is a full success.
Nice.
If you want to play a harder version of the game, I've learned, you can play It Has to Beat, and that creates a much more horror-filled game, much harder to to succeed sometimes, but a lot more fun, I think. So you have a full success. You're looking at these tracks, and it's sure enough, it's cheese rats from the area.
Goddamn cheese rats!
But what you realize, what's odd, is. Normally, cheese rats are just scurrying about, right? They're just these kind of pack animals. They seem to be, like, herded up towards that that hotel.
They've organized.
Well, I wonder if they're planning an attack. We've had to get over there for something... For something not so good to happen.
just shoehorn and jokes in, yeah. Just puns.
Yes.
In my defense, my character has jokes as an attribute. You are never going to escape this.
Beautiful. Oh, I absolutely love it. Okay. So you decide to go check out the hotel. You all turn and start heading up there towards the hotel. When you come around, of course, this is, you know, big hills, and you turn around this one hill, there is this abandoned hotel that kind of is nestled in or in kind of a valley, but overlooks a lot of these wonderful, you know, rolling hills out past it. But this thing is 5 stories tall, little roundabout thing. It's like a circular hotel. First floor kind of expands out, but it is overgrown with vegetation. There's not a single window that exists in this thing. It's been busted out a long time ago. Graffiti all over it that's just all aged by the weather, all potentially rubbed off. The front doors of this thing are busted out. You can kind of see into it, but it's just dark inside. Of course, you can't see anything. And it's getting a little bit warmer as you get closer to this hotel. How would y'all like to proceed?
They left the heating on.
Yeah, it seems almost unnaturally warm.
Yeah, I was going to say, you feel that too. It is unnaturally warm.
Disturbance in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And those tracks continue up into the hotel.
I'm going to...
Should we investigate then?
How many windows of this hotel are busted out?
All of them. I mean, it is just...
Okay, yeah, I want to use my flashlight and shine my light into the windows, a bunch of them, and see if I get any eye shine back.
So you're going to go, like, up. So you're going up to the door.
I'm not going to, like,
inside.
I'm just going to like stand at the building and shine lights into the into the hotel.
Okay.
See if I see any eyes shine from ratty boys.
Oh, ratty boys. So you get up there. Yeah, you start shining that light around, and you're about to give up when you just catch a glimpse, and you hear scurrying deep into the hotel.
Yep, that's cheese rats, all right.
Goddamn cheese rats. Make me
a giant mousetrap?
Make a mouse to bath. A rat kebab.
Oh, I have a giant mousetrap. Wait. I do.
Does
I have several.
Ever?
I do.
I do have a couple of traps, but how do we want to deal with the rats?
Stompy.
You want to go
home? I think they're a little bit big for that.
Wow. Well, luckily, and I take my hands out and I'm going to fireball in both hands. Just
burn. I thought you were going to fireball like at our feet, D&D style.
No. Just
killing
like,
us instantly.
You know how the in Avatar they can hold the fire in their hands?
Yeah.
Sort of thing. So yeah, we can burn them out, surely.
Don't call me.
And then, a con artist, I'm going to put the fire out and change it to, or we can electrify them, and with electric bolts running through my hands.
Does tasing a rat sound more ethical than burning one?
Or, worst comes to worst, we could always levitate them. The world of this...
Fly them, flying cheese rats.
You know.
Oh, no.
Think a TK push. Wow.
Levitating smoking rats, which are partly cooked.
Which have powers the Jedi would consider.
And the spit.
All right.
This is our way to have meat on the charcuterie board. We can cook the rats. No need for a deal with Hamburg. Let's muster our courage and get in there. With rats to kill.
Okay.
So can I be the first to walk into the room, please?
Okay.
I feel like I've got the...
So you're going to step up. As you put your foot across the threshold, there is a ward that seems to have been placed around the building as your foot tries to interact with it. Goes a shock up through you. This is, now I'd say, how do you want to react to this happening? And depending on your role will determine what happens with this ward. Wards, if you look on your character sheet, are under folk. It's a warding magic. So you could either try to, like, I'm going to try to counteract the ward as quickly as possible with my own warding magic. I would like to try to use ritual magic to, you know, break it real quick. There's various ways you can try to determine how you want to overcome this warding magic.
Well, I have protection magic, a part of me. Could I protect myself? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, so... you could
like
use
stone,
like
stone legs, you know, or like hard, my legs don't feel pain, you know.
So sure,
like,
yeah.
Protection.
Yeah, when you ever cast protection magic, you basically would determine, you would say ahead of time, or when you do it, I want it to protect me from physical or magical attacks, you know, or whatever that is coming. So you know this is a magical thing that's happening. So you're trying to throw up a protection very quickly on yourself. So that's how I'm going to help determine the imposition. So I have an idea ahead of time, and I'll let everybody know the way to deal with this ward. It starts at a D8. So we all know as a group, the ward is a D8 imposition. Since you're trying to throw up this protection really quickly, I think it would actually end up being a D10 to start for you. Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right.
But I was going to say, because I'm using a protection, and that's part of hex magic, I have 2 points in that. That means I get a dice lowered?
Yep, so you drop it to a D6.
Okay. And also, hex being my best magic skill, I roll D8s with that.
Yes.
So roll
so you'll
D8.
D8 for the path, a D6 for the level, and then a D6 against a D6, which is the imposition die. So that's the one you're trying to beat.
Okay. So I roll three dice, a d8, d6, and a d4?
Six.
Six. So d, one d8, one d6, and...
Against another d6. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Now I'm getting there. Two d6s, one d8.
Yeah, and just remember which one is the imposition die, because we're trying to roll above that one.
Okay, I'm just going to do them separately to make life easy. So, yeah. D8, I got a 6. My first D6, I got a 6. My second D6, I got a 2.
That is a full success. Send me the last one. I would assume the last one being the imposition die. Yeah, so that just blasts through. You all see, like, his leg shock, but there's this like magical protection over it. Actually, tell me, what does that, how do you manifest your magic? What would that look like to the players
actually,
when they see?
I think, because I was thinking, as I was saying, I think my my skin on my legs changed to like a dark brown leather, and they were just impenetrable, I think is the word.
Yeah.
Like chainmail, scale mail, just, yeah, that sort of spell.
Okay, cool. So it's awesome. That looks really cool. As his leg like morphs into this like impenetrable leather and chain, kind of a medieval looking thing, shocks through, and he kicks you back. And you all see that ward shimmer. Something has been warded this place against human interference, which means somebody's trying to keep people out of this hotel.